Holy Wit!
What did you just say?
Holy Wit, a podcast for warriors in training.
Back with the Holy Wit podcast.
We're live?
We are live.
Well, when we record this, we're live.
We're live with each other. Yeah, so it's been a week or two since we were last on, and we wanted to get back in and just talk a little bit about what's been going on in life.
Our section.
Our section of life stuck at home in these COVID days, lockdown, can't be around anybody, can't see anybody, can't visit with anybody.
But we can gather in big box stores.
Yeah. We can stand outside in the minus whatever weather. 10 people apart.
Is that what they say? 10 people apart?
No, 10 people, but you have to be...
Oh, 10 people, but you have to be socially
separated.
Distanced.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So that kind of puts a damper on community, which is key in our life, especially as, not just as Christians, but just as people. We're wired to be with other people, and it can be pretty daunting for some. But actually, the topic we wanted to talk today a little about is safe people. So in the context of being in community, and what does it look like to be living in spiritual family with those who are safe? And what does it mean to be a safe person and an unsafe person? So Steph, what do you say is a good description of a safe person?
Well, a safe person is really the opposite of everything that's unsafe. The fact is, we all have unsafe characteristics about us. The determining factor is it an ingrained characteristic that somebody's unsafe versus somebody who's safe? So it comes down to character discernment. Right now I'm back to taking another group through what I call broken branches, or what the Lord calls broken branches. That's a fun story for another time. It's really a series of finding and developing or resurrecting biblical community within our lives. It's moving from the pseudo community to authentic community.
Right.
And you mentioned COVID, and I'm sure everybody is so tired of hearing the word COVID. I am so tired of hearing the word COVID, but here's the thing with COVID is that they literally tell us to mask, to put the masks on.
Mm-hmm.
And with broken branches, I am figuratively encouraging people to take their mask off.
Right.
To put it simply, to start off our conversation and see where you're going to take it, is an unsafe person is someone who cannot take their figurative mask off.
So we say figurative mask. If somebody was that, what is that example of a mask?
I'm happy all the time.
Okay.
Everything in my life is peachy keen.
Yeah.
Right? My kids are geniuses. My spouse has been carved out of my favorite romantic movie.
Mm.
My dog, I've never had to train it, never had an issue. Everything I do or look at turns up roses and gives me a return in gold.
Right.
I've got God's favor everywhere I go. And I'm not going to talk about anything that's below that level.
So your scubula doesn't stink.
Right, scubula. No, exactly. And social media is a great tool in some cases, but a horrible tool when it comes to putting out what's really going on in our lives.
Yeah.
Because we can present ourselves. Most of our profile pictures are 10 years ago, right before the bags under the eyes and the wrinkles.
Take your best picture
in,
and then
when you still had
effects.
Hair.
Yeah.
Right.
Social media wasn't around then.
No.
When I had hair.
No, right? But full of pictures of happy families and happy people. It's a good thing to see. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing to see. What I'm saying is that unsafe person, that's all they put out there.
Right.
Is that is that idea. It's almost like that's the reputation they're interested in sowing.
Yeah, it's that that fake.
On the flip side of the happy, everything is bright in my world, there's the other side of it too. So there's always two sides of a coin. So the other side of the unsafe person is the one who wants and is looking for somebody to listen to them. I've got nothing good going on in my life. Everything is horrible. I'm falling in mud pits everywhere. And you get somebody who's kind-hearted and has a heart of compassion, they will listen in seven ways till Sunday.
Right.
And they'll listen and they'll listen and they'll invest a lot of time in that person, truly listening and truly helping them, trying to help them get over it, to see a different perspective, to heal whatever it is that the person living in this mud pit is experiencing. But it's always kicking them back to the Lord. But here's where they become unsafe. When the person who's been listening to them has something going on in their life, and they find deaf ears on the person. They're met with deaf ears.
Right.
With that person that they've spent hours and hours and hours supporting and encouraging
and listening to.
And to find out that
it's not reciprocated.
As a matter of fact, chances are highly likely that that person will go away, and that's devastating. That can be devastating. It can be very hurtful.
Yeah, because you're thinking you're building a relationship, and then all of a sudden they're gone.
Right. So I'm not allowed to say anything when things are going rough in my life.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, the person whose life is all happy-go-lucky is unsafe, because that person who's going through a tough time will not feel safe in sharing that with them. So we get back to the masks. So what happens when we take these masks off? Why do we wear these masks in the first place?
Well, yeah, a lot of times it's not, like you say, it's not conscious. It's a subconscious protective layer that we put on.
But see, here's the thing though. We go to church and we see masks everywhere. And so we created in our mind this ideal of what a Christian is supposed to look like, sound like, and be like. And so we're trying to reach that ideal.
Right.
And it's false. It's a false ideal. And we need to get back to scripture, go back to the basics. What are the lessons and what are the examples that Jesus shows us through the Gospels? Where are the apostles taking it further? And even back to the Old Testament, where do we see true community in the Old Testament? We got to go back there and realize that we're trying to create relationships through ideals, and it will fail us every time.
Yeah.
But when we can take that mask off and actually see past the ideal and look at the character and nature of that person, see who they really are, see them through God's eyes, now we're starting to build biblical community. Because it's not about the ideal, it's about the person.
Yeah. And that takes time.
It does take time. It's like I said, did I say it? No, I said it in a speech I did not too long ago, that discipleship is not meant to be mass-produced. Because it has to go at the speed of relationship. And speeds of relationship cannot be drive-through.
No.
And if they're drive-through, that should be a red flag.
Yeah.
To settle it down.
Yeah. Yeah, because we start to think in terms of, you know, I talked about this earlier, about the disciples that Jesus called.
Yes.
And you think when they first got together, none of them were probably safe.
No,
right. Right, a bunch of guys that one, they said John was all about Jesus being, him being Jesus' favorite. And Peter was the...
It's a good thing that Jesus didn't have
rough around the edges
type. But if you think about John, it's a good thing that Jesus wasn't adverse to touch. When I read it, when I read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, even the Gospel of John, I get the idea that whenever he refers to himself as Jesus' favorite, or the one that Jesus loved, you know, you get, and even some pictures of the disciples together with Jesus depict John like snuggled right up to Jesus.
Yeah, leaning on him.
Leaning on him. Yeah. So, you know, that, we can... That can give us a bad taste if we've got somebody who's always leaning on us.
Yeah.
But where does that come from? we're supposed to show ourselves as his disciples, and part of that is how we greet each other, how we are with each other. Not to say that we're supposed to be attached by the shoulder
yeah.
or the hip, but we're loving towards each other.
Right.
And none of this, oh, you can only hug me a certain way. Hug, for goodness sakes. I don't care if you're a man or a woman.
Side hugs.
No.
That's what the church had to start doing, just in case.
Leave that
for
the world.
That's what they were taught. If you're going to hug somebody, you got to side hug them, because they might take it the wrong way, and then we got a scandal on our hands.
Oh, no. Not in the church.
Let alone greet them with a holy kiss.
But you know that I had an awesome opportunity in Cuba, and I'll tell you, after spending, how long were we there for, a week?
Yeah.
You can't greet anybody in Cuba without the kiss.
Yeah.
On the cheek, the double kiss on the cheek. And when I came home after only a week in Cuba, that was one of the things that I was shocked that I missed.
Yeah.
But to do it here in our world, it would seem so phony and awkward and out of place. But in places such as Cuba.
Right. Where it's cultural.
Where it's cultural, it seems awkward and out of place to not.
Right. Yeah. In our stoic culture, we don't do
my space. This is my space. There's personal space, there's God space.
Yeah.
And then there's community space.
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to the disciples, if you think about it, you know, at first they were probably, and then there was a tax collector.
Matthew.
Right, Matthew, yeah. who you know, knowingly taken more than he should have on behalf of the Romans, so stealing from his own people. So he would have been very unsafe to them.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but Matthew would have brought shame to them.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, if you get the idea that through, you get the idea how he was personified in the series Chosen, that it was a shameful thing for him to be a tax collector, because it was because of the burden it put on his people.
Well, it was a pariah. He was a pariah.
Yeah.
That's the word, right? Worked up on behalf of the Romans, but he was taken from his own people.
Mm-hmm. So that made him very unsafe. And so you have Matthew. Then you have Peter.
Yeah.
Peter had no filter.
No, you'd shoot from the hip.
And the mouth.
I relate to Peter a lot.
May you and your money burn in.
Yeah. Even to one of correcting Jesus. You're not going to die. This can't be true.
Behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Yes, you get such an eclectic group of men, an unlikely band of brothers coming together. And how would any of them fit into our communities today? How would any of them even fit in as a friend to us today? Not likely all of them.
No.
But yet they all stuck together, even after Jesus ascended. They remained together. I would have thought it was a perfect opportunity for them to scatter and go, I've had enough of Peter, and I'm distancing myself from Matthew.
Yeah.
And John, well, he's just too touchy for me.
I think one of the reasons they stuck, like you said, their relationship grew over time, because you got to think, Jesus, they were with Jesus for about 3 years, give or take. But it wasn't just 3 years. It wasn't like 3 years of our time, where you see somebody for an hour a week.
Right. Yeah, it was
for discipleship, or you see them an hour a week where they sit in a large building in a large room staring at the back of somebody else's head while listening to somebody fancy speaker up on the front exposing their ideas. Right, that they didn't do that. They spent life together, rubbing shoulders, doing everything together. So it actually, if you actually do all the hours, it's large, along, you know, 24/7 with Jesus. 3 years, it's a long time that they were together.
So
rubbing the edges against each other.
It's a miracle in itself that they even got going.
Yeah.
If you think about it, by today's standards, how long would this group have lasted?
Well, they wouldn't.
They wouldn't even be able to spend the second hour with
each
other.
Right, well, they would have been the nice first nice smiley hour, and it would have been like, run away and hide.
Time Peter opened his mouth, they're gone.
Although I think part of it is, part of how they were authentic. Because you see in the scriptures that they were authentic people.
Right.
I think that was a good thing, because I think part of being safe, like you say, taking the mask off, there was authenticity. You know, John didn't hide the fact that he was Jesus' favorite.
Or he felt that he was the one that
Peter
he most loved.
Peter didn't filter and his the way what he did and said.
Yes.
You know, those kind of things. You think about it. James and John.
Yeah, it's the same John.
Right. They were considered the sons of thunder. You know, they were jostled to be who would be right hand of Jesus, to the point where they asked their mom to go ask Jesus who would be seated.
Right.
Mom, go ask Jesus which one of us will be your right hand and which will be your left hand.
And totally shocked. Imagine if you were a disciple imagine when you being one of the disciples to discover that it was Judas Iscariot that betrayed Jesus and the group.
Right.
Not Matthew, the tax collector. I would have bet on Matthew.
Yeah.
Because he was a tax collector. I would have been cynical and mistrusting of Matthew. But here comes Judas.
Right.
But yet, I think you said Jesus had to have known that Judas was skimming.
Well, yeah, he was in charge of the money, and you know, people always say, "Well, Jesus didn't have a lot of money." No, that's not true. He had a lot of money. Like there were those that were their only job was to distribute the money that was given to them, and Judas was in charge of that.
Right. And my point is that we judge people whether we want to admit it or not. We judge people based on external appearances.
Yep.
And the external would tell me that Matthew would be the one that I'd be keeping my eyes on.
Right. Past behavior.
Not Judas.
Right. Yeah.
And we've got to get over this external judging and getting past what we see, getting past that mask, if the person allows us to get past that mask, to uncover who they are on the other side and start encouraging the real person to come out.
Yeah, so in that case, I want to just ask that, is how does somebody move from being an unsafe person to a safe person?
You got to deal with some of your stuff. You have to acknowledge where it is that you are unsafe. And until you do that, you will continue to be unsafe.
Yeah. How does so again we say that easy to
say. Right,
right.
So
that's
example?
Great to say that. So what does it look like to self-assess or take an honest look at yourself and say, here's one thing I need to change or work on in order to become more of a safe person?
I can tell you how people have felt that I was unsafe and based on external appearances because of my size. Some of you who don't know what I look like, I'm tall and thin.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not that person who gains weight by looking at a loaf of bread or a dessert. I'm fairly fit, you know. And I've had a lot of people walk away from me just because of how I look.
Yeah.
On the outside.
Right.
So if you find yourself doing that, then you need to go before the Lord. Nobody else is going to fix it for you or help you get over it.
So judging somebody by their external appearances it makes you an unsafe person.
Makes, right, and it's the same.
So where does that come from? Where does that judging externally come from?
Well, it could be a whole gamut of things that would be up to the individual to seek the Lord, and hopefully they have one or two safe people in their lives who are going to be honest with them.
Right.
Not honest demeaning, but honest uplifting, and saying, "Yeah, you know, I do notice that you do this," and therefore, let's talk about that. Let's seek the Lord together.
Okay, seek the Lord.
Let's seek the Lord. You're just getting me back for the times that I did this to you. No, they're good. Praying with each other,
right.
Asking God to reveal to them
where
it is that this deficiency is coming from.
We call that listening prayer.
Sure.
Rather than, you know, coming to God with our laundry list of things we want him to do.
Well, it's really...
This is changing the way we pray.
Right. And the thing is that I love the term that I heard not so long ago, that you need to have somebody, if you feel you're an unsafe person, you really truly want to be a safe person, you need to find those people in your lives that have a BS meter, but cannot stand the dial moving at all.
Yeah.
You're going to need those people with no BS meter to tell you that the scriptures that you're pulling out are not the prescription for you.
They're the ones you select.
They're the ones that you select because they make you feel good.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when we need to change our behavior and change the way that we think about things, sometimes the Lord doesn't give us those sunny day encouraging scriptures telling you how wonderful you are, because if you're an unsafe person, you're obviously not that wonderful.
Right.
That there's some things that we all have things that we
yep.
need to work on.
We all do, yeah.
We're never going to reach 100% safe, but we can definitely increase our safe characteristics and decrease our unsafe characteristics. And
yep.
in doing so, we will find biblical community. Now, biblical community is not just based on if somebody has all of these, you know, we're not checking off a list.
Said the prayer.
Well, no, this is the safe column characteristics. This is
right.
the unsafe column characteristics.
Yeah.
And we're going to determine whether you're okay in our lives. Because chances are those people who are unsafe haven't had a lot of experience from healthy, maturing
right.
Christians.
Yeah.
So their experience and their mindsets are skewed.
Right.
And so then what the example of the 12 disciples is that we embrace everybody.
Yeah.
It's something that Beth Moore has said. She's a spirit-filled Bible teacher. She says in one of her teachings under her recommendations for guarding and thriving relationships is that we're to be authentic with all, transparent with most, and intimate with some.
What it is that we can do, so action steps we can take in order to move from being unsafe to safe. And based on what we were talking about is learn to walk with God and hear from God. This is something we talk about all the time when you hear from us, is the fact that God speaks. We've been given His Holy Spirit living in us so we can hear from God. And we can not just hear for God for ourselves, but hear from God for other people. And get in those places with one or two people who are mature and safer, where you can sit down and speak to God and wait and listen to Him. And then say, here's what I hear God saying. And take that then to the Holy Spirit to test it. And as we do this, it starts to open up these areas. He'll start to reveal these areas of our lives that He wants to work on that maybe make us unsafe around, you know, judging. What is it around judging that I look at somebody and judge them based on their external appearance, or I judge them based on their actions or what they say or do that may rub me the wrong way, or what we call raise a flag or trigger us in our emotions and our thinking.
So we're real, we present our real selves with everybody, but those intimate pieces we keep for a small circle, just as Jesus did.
Yeah.
Jesus had he had different circles around him. He had his inner three, then he had his 12,
yeah.
and then it expanded out from there.
Right.
So to be a safe person or an unsafe person doesn't mean that you're going to be intimate with everybody. You're going to keep those intimate pieces for a few.
Yeah.
But you can still live in a biblical community.
Mm-hmm.
And be real,
authentic biblical community.
Yes.
And learn to grow with each other as time goes on.
And accept it. Yes. Yeah. It's exactly it. To be accepting and real with everybody.
Yeah.
As it goes on. It's a give and take. It's not a take.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we appreciate you listening in this week, and we invite you to meet back with us the same time next week, as we start to talk around some other things that have been pressing upon our hearts and our minds as well.
And things that don't let us go that we just have to talk about.
See you next week.